The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
New figures show that half the vehicles in Ireland have failed the NCT test. Over 850,000 cars did not pass the 60 different checks required, with counties in the northwest of the country accounting for the highest percentage of failures. For more on this, I'm joined by transport consultant and consultant to the RIAC, Conor Faulkner. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hello.
Now, are you surprised? 50%, literally half and half, fail and pass.
Yeah, it's not a surprise in a sense, Pat, and it's also not a new stat in that that pattern has been there for a while. On the face of it, it looks dreadful. You say, my God, half the cars can't pass the NCT. In fact, almost all of those cars pass on a retest. If you look at when those cars come back to retest for the NCT, if they need a full lane to do it, it's about a 90% pass rate. If it's just a visual recheck, then it's over a 99% pass rate. So what's actually happening? And I think what's happening is that cars are turning up unprepared for the NCT. A lot of motorists just don't bother. They say, look, I let it do the NCT. If it passes, great. If it doesn't pass, they'll give me a list telling me what's wrong. And I think there's two things that are wrong with that, Pat. Firstly, it's absolutely a backward attitude towards vehicle maintenance. You're supposed to maintain the car properly rather than just kind of prep for a test every couple of years. And the second thing is that it's hugely wasteful of the NCT's capacity. When a car occupies a slot in the system, fails and has to be retested, whereas in fact with a basic bit of pretest care, it could have gone through first time. So it's causing a lot of waste in the system, but it's not really as alarming as it appears. We don't have half of all the cars on the road are dangerous or anything like that.
Now, the question of going for that so-called pretest that people might do in their local garage, they've got to pay for that, and that's not cheap. So they might figure, I'm going to have to go to that repair man anyway if there's something wrong. So why pay him kind of early? Let's find out what is wrong, get a definitive list, and there'll be none of this kind of techno-nonsense from the mechanic who might be telling you all sorts of things are wrong when they're not.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And it just tells you about when you're designing systems for human beings, Pat, because, you know, what we want people to do is to maintain their car properly. So when the test comes around, you don't need to prep for it at all. Your car's in good condition, just it should breeze through. Of course, what actually happens when you're dealing with the Mark I human being is people find the simpler, the convenient thing to do. And for the ordinary punter, the most convenient thing to do is, you know, don't bother prepping for the NCT. Just let the car do it. If it fails, great. If it doesn't, they'll tell you why. And I think that culture is kind of what we're seeing here. Incidentally, the NCT is trying to improve that situation. And one of the things they've done is they've increased the fee for a retest. So it was the case that, you know, the very nominal costs or even no cost if your car just needed a visual recheck. And a reduced rate if your car needed to use a test lane again. But what they brought in now is a more significant charge if you need to retest the vehicle. I'm not sure they'll completely solve this pattern, Pat, but they might improve it a bit. But I think what we're seeing in the data is not defective cars so much as motorists doing what, from their point of view, is the sensible and wise thing, but what, from the RSA's point of view, is a little frustrating in that they're not prepping for the test.
Now, some people will be simply failed on the basis of inadequate tire tread, for instance, or they might be missing bulbs and they don't have replacements with them in the car that they could replace. And indeed, nowadays, when a light goes, often it's the entire fitting that has to be replaced rather than a simple bulb if you've got LEDs. But when you look at some of the more serious things, steering and suspension, 15% of the failures accounted there. Lighting and electrical, 14.2%. And the side slip test, 12.3%. What's the slide slip test?
Well, that is essentially wheel balancing. I mean, that will assess how far will your car roll in a straight line without deviating. That's what the side slip test means. So if you know, if you're on a motorway, for example, and drivers will have done this, if you sort of, with appropriate care, if you sort of gently let go of your steering wheel on the motorway just to assess what it's doing, it should be obvious to you if that car is drifting either left or right. Now, of course, modern cars have things like cruise control and even adaptive cruise control, where the car will stay in lane for you. But you'll get a sense as an experienced driver as to whether or not there's any drift on the car. That's the balancing of the front wheels, usually. It needs to be done correctly. It's important for the car to roll straight. It also enables the car to brake in a straight line, so it is important. And it's one of the things that they will check in the NCT. But the NCT itself now is not a completely thorough check. I mean, it is designed to be a fairly straightforward visual check of the main obvious things in the car. Because I think the other mistake that motorists make is they think that now that I've passed the NCT, that's a clean bill of health for the car. I don't need to do anything to it for another couple of years. And it doesn't mean that at all. It's just, you know, it's just an assessment on the day of the basics. So I think people expect too much of the NCT, and then paradoxically at the same time, they don't prepare for it when they do it. And I think that's probably that we're seeing in the data.
Now, are there inconsistencies in passing and failing rates across the country? I mean, are there places where if you go, you're almost going to fail, and if you go somewhere else, you'll pass with the same car? Or are the NCT systems so uniform that you do get consistency?
They're pretty uniform, and you do get pretty good consistency. You can see that some of the failure rates sort of recur area by area. For example, areas like Cavan and Donegal seem to have a relatively poor failure rate. Now, that could correlate with local potholes as much as anything else, Pat, or age of the vehicles. But you do see a fairly good clustering of the data in the way that you would expect to see in a healthy system. The contrast, by the way, for example, when you look at driving tests, you see the opposite. The driving test pass rate varies unacceptably by test centre. You know, way outlined outside what could be explained statistically. There's something wrong there that needs to be addressed when it comes to the driving test. When it comes to the NCT, we don't see that pattern. You see the sort of pattern that you'd like to see, which is a degree of uniformity and consistency, which would seem to indicate that the test is functioning pretty well.
And we also know that the driving test system is not really fit for purpose. You're not allowed to go on a motorway, for example, before you do the test. And as soon as you pass, off you go. Now, you are limited by the end plate and so on in terms of your speed. But at the same time, you've never been on a motorway before, except as a passenger. And suddenly there you are at 120 kilometres an hour, you know, traffic whizzing past you or whatever. Terrifying for the new driver.
Yeah, true. I mean, learning how to drive is a graduated process. It's not a binary thing. It's not you were a non-driver before you sat the test and you're a 100% driver now you've passed it. As you know, you've got a limited set of penalty points available to you. You need to be accompanied before you pass the test. You need to do your 12 modules, which is where an instructor will take you through some of the basics of driving. You have to pass all of those satisfactorily. It could be argued, in fact, I've made the point before, Pat, that a gap there is motorway driving. I think it would make perfect sense if one of your learner modules was motorway driving. And as a learner, you're allowed to access a motorway if you had a driving instructor with you. For me, that would make sense as a rule change. It's not what we have at the moment. But overall, if you look at how we teach people how to drive, the system isn't bad. It's got cracks in it. We make our own admin mistakes. As I say, we've got variations in the test pass rate, and there's other stuff that you might be critical of. But as a test design, it's actually pretty good. I think it stands reasonably favourable comparison with our OECD peers or anybody else in Europe. Certainly as far as the NCT is concerned, and probably on balance as far as the driving test is concerned too. It doesn't do much about driver behaviour when they subsequently pass and there isn't a guard to be seen, but I suppose that's a different concern.
Now, if you look at the different pass rates for cars, Porsche used to be on top inevitably every year. That really refers to the quality of the build, I suppose. But that's been overtaken by MG.
Yeah, and you know, these are little feathers in the manufacturer's caps. You would have to, before you stood over that, you'd have to sort of layer across the vehicle populations and models and stuff. I don't think it tells you in absolute terms. But however, I think it does tell you that those cars are of good quality. And there might be some insight into what cars manage best in between servicing intervals. Because as I say, a pattern that we have in the data is that cars are turning up unserviced and unprepared. in the way that no owner should have them. You know,
well there are other aspects to this that you have to look at. MG, relatively new in the market, 73% pass rate, Porsche 63, Lexus 60, Land Rover 56, Audi 55. At the bottom, then, you've got Chevrolet and Chrysler and Daihatsu. I don't think Daihatsu is available anymore in this market. I think it's only available, when I Googled this morning, Indonesia and Japan. Chevrolet pulled out of the European market. Chrysler still in, obviously, with Jeep and so on, still around.
Yeah.
They're in the bottom three. So I don't know, does it tell us anything?
Probably not, Pat. Probably not. And then there's a bit of a daisy chain with some of those car ownerships. For example, some of those early Chryslers were effectively were Daewoos when they took over some of that. So I don't think it's telling us much, Pat, to be honest. What we were able to historically glean some very good manufacturer by manufacturer data from was breakdown records. So, I mean, again, with my old hat back in the day in the AA, but we used to get some very, very insightful data from the breakdown records. So we would be able to go back to a manufacturer, whether it be Ford or Renault or whoever it is, and say, look, you know, you have a clutch cable problem in such and such model of such and such year, because we've seen a tripling of those faults in our 100,000 breakdowns this year. So that sort of information can indeed be very useful to manufacturers. Our own NCT data is, you know, it's a little crude on the one hand, and we know we've a cohort of drivers who aren't really preparing the cars for the test. So I'm not sure how much we could hang on that. But all other things being equal, if your car seems to be performing best, well, I guess that has to be a pretty good thing for Porsche.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.